Kadosh. Remember, remember, Adonai Eloheinu.
Welcome to Romamu, an open-hearted Jewish community and house of worship, learning, and spiritual growth. You're listening to Romamu's podcast, where we share words of Torah, insights, and inspiration from Romamu clergy. Thank you for being with us.
So I was having a conversation this week about what else, about Israel, with a friend who's not on the same page as me politically. She's Jewish, but she doesn't live in Jewish spaces the way I do. And the conversation was fraught with an undercurrent of anxiety, at least for me. During the conversation, I wondered, is it okay if we disagree? How much can I say and not threaten our relationship? And I tried to explain to her that in so many of the Jewish spaces I inhabit these days, these kinds of conversations are fraught. I'm in so many places where I feel, and I know other people feel, like it's hard to say what's on our mind. And it's hard to sort of think out loud and even ask questions. I think there's probably no space that I can really struggle with what's happening out loud and honestly. At the time, when we were having that conversation, I felt like it was fine, but she didn't really hear me. And a few hours later, I get this text from her. She wrote, "Diane, I want to apologize. I don't think I was listening. When you spoke about how hard it is to talk about Israel and Gaza in the Jewish community, it must be very painful. Solidarity between groups which had and have common cause is now at risk. And it's awful and it's sad and painful all around. And maybe the most important thing to do, which I don't think I did well, is just to listen and wait for a time when people can take a step back." Receiving this made me tear up. Her acknowledgement of the pain I was in, how much pain we are all feeling. And I just have to say that when I talk about the pain that we're feeling, I know it's nothing compared to what is happening in Israel and also in Gaza. Like, I feel it's so hard to say anything because what we're going through is actually relative safety. And that is a huge privilege. And yet I still feel like I want to name the pain that we're feeling and the loneliness that many of us are feeling. So her acknowledgement of my pain created a space in me in which I felt like we could both be who we were, where we did not have to diminish ourselves for the sake of agreement. The beginning of finding such shared space, I would like to suggest, is an acknowledgement of the other's pain as well as our own. An acknowledgement of pain and caring about that pain is the definition of compassion, of rachamim. So there's this amazing moment in this week's parsha, which is Miketz. And if you don't know the Joseph story, which I presume either you saw the movie or saw the play or you're heard the story somewhere. Very briefly, Joseph's family is a mess. The Israelite family is a mess. He was his father's favorite. His brothers hated him. They threw him into a pit. They almost murdered him, but instead he was sold into slavery and went down to Egypt and became powerful in this guy Potiphar's house. And then Potiphar's wife accused him of seducing her, even though she seduced him, and he was thrown into a dungeon. And he was brought out of the dungeon because Pharaoh heard about what a good dream interpreter he was, which ultimately, and if you don't know the story, just go and read Genesis in your spare time, which ultimately puts him in charge of an entire region of the world at a time of famine, right? And he's in charge of all the food there is to distribute. And his brothers, who he hasn't seen in years, come from Eretz Canaan, from the land of Canaan, and stand before this powerful man in Egypt, and they ask for food. They beg for food. He recognizes them, and they don't recognize him. Now who's in power? They stripped him. They threw him naked into a pit. We can imagine he was crying out for his life. But now they stand before him, begging for food. He plays them. He accuses them of dishonesty, of being spies, and he confines them in a guardhouse for 3 days. And thinking that he doesn't understand what they're saying, say this in Genesis 42:21. We are guilty because of our brother, because we looked on at his anguish, and we did not listen to him as he pleaded with us. That is why this distress has come upon us. Okay, so they didn't hear him when he was crying out in the pit, but wait a second. Go back in your mind to Genesis 37. Do you remember any cries? They threw him in a pit. Then nothing. They sat down to eat bread. The Torah records not one cry from Joseph. Where do these cries come from? We can imagine. Well, there are a few options here. We can imagine he was so terrified, alone in that pit, right? And the rabbis tell us it's full of snakes and scorpions. We can imagine he wanted to cry, but he couldn't cry out. Or we might imagine that he did cry out. And his brothers, so full of rage and hatred, could not hear those cries. All they could do was eat. It's kind of like the tree falling in the forest and no one is around to hear it. Does it make a sound? When Joseph is crying out and his brothers don't hear it, do his cries make a sound? So the brothers, here's what happened. The brothers don't know that Joseph is actually listening to their conversation because there's an interpreter, a translator between them. But when Joseph hears that his brothers heard his cries, he turns away from them and wept. Now, Joseph is the big crier in the Bible. He cries 8 times, no less than 8 times. But this is the first time that he cries. They're hearing finally his pain allows him to feel his own, allows him to become human. Now, the story will take its twists and turns, and tshuva, repentance, and rapprochement will take a while. There'll be a lot of crying between here and there, but this is the beginning of his feeling. There's a bigger context, of course, in the book of Genesis. If a brother cries in the book of Genesis and his brother does not hear it, did the cry make a sound? If a sister is raped in Genesis and her brothers and father do not hear her cries, do they make a sound? The question, of course, goes all the way back to Genesis 4, to God's question of Cain. After Cain killed his brother out of jealousy, God asked him, "Where is your brother Abel?" "Ehevel achicha." And he said, "Vayomer, lo yadati." "I don't know." "Hashomer achi, anochi." "Am I my brother's keeper?" Cain responds basically saying, "What do I care?" But it is God who hears the voice of his brother's blood crying from the earth. God says, "What have you done? Your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground." "Vayomer me'asita kol demei achicha zoakim elai min ha'adama." If a tree falls in a forest and no living creature hears it, does it make a sound? If a human cries from a pit or in prolonged captivity, or an orphan child cries from under endless rubble, do these cries sound? Maybe if God hears it, maybe. I'm wondering. I honestly don't know. So back to our scene. The brothers finally hear their brother's cry retroactively, which is amazing. Joseph's cry is no longer silent. Even the Torah, it seems, had silenced Joseph's cries when he was in the pit So Joseph and his brothers, as I said, will go on a long and winding road to tshuva. There'll be lots of crying. But in conclusion, before I come in for landing, I want to make a few simple points which seem to be no longer simple in our times. When my friend heard my pain, I felt seen, like someone whose pain is worthy of being recognized, even if I did not fully agree with her, even though in some cases I vehemently disagreed with her. I think there is something that happens when we acknowledge pain. There's a danger that it comes with blame. If you're hurt, it must be my fault. And if I'm hurt, it must be your fault. But maybe before casting blame, we can just wait just a minute and hear the cries, no matter where they come from. Maybe we can just feel, just because you and I were both human. Let's just start with rachamim, with compassion, simple compassion, separating pain from blame. And I'm not saying that there aren't a million ways, and there are, to see the political situation. I'm not saying that anything isn't justified or is. That's not what I'm saying. I'm in a different realm right now. I'm just talking about human pain and the ability to feel the pain of the other. That's it. Please don't ascribe any political meaning to this. And of course, what I'm saying has political implications. I take responsibility for that. I might leave very quickly after services. So maybe if we remove this blame thing, we can increase our capacity to hear the cries of the other. The cries from the pit that are begging to be heard, to sound. Endless human cries right now are begging to be heard, are wanting to sound. Cries of grief, cries of anguish, terror, horror, despair. Endless cries that maybe right now only the divine one, the one who listens to the cries of all her creatures, can hear and hold.
Thank you for listening. Want more content like this? Subscribe to our podcast and visit romamu.org to learn more about us. Please consider making a contribution to Romamu so we can continue to fulfill our mission to help spiritual seekers deepen their connection to Jewish wisdom and practice to help them become more compassionate human beings. We hope to see you in the synagogue or the Zoomagogue soon. Romamu. Romamu. Adonai.